clap one time for Matt? There you go. He likes the praises. We have to clap for Matt from time to time now. What's going on, folks? Welcome to the Lemonade Podcast. I'm your host, Frank, along with Matt and Mike. Here at the Lemonade Podcast, we go by the saying, when life gives you lemons, we make lemonade, and we pour it onto the world. And with that, we hope to encourage, inspire, and empower not only those of you tuning in, but our guests themselves. And today's guest is James. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me here. It's a great delight to be able to speak in this forum.
Awesome. No, we are happy to be here in your space. We're surrounded by art. I love it. Doing the on-location episodes are one of my favorites, though our little space in my apartment is fun and it's cozy. I do like being with the artists, sitting down with them, and in their own space, like I said, amongst their art. It's just... it's a different vibe here. So you mentioned that, what do you call your space?
I call it the James E. Watts Institute for Artistic Behavior.
Okay.
Which boils down to is we act like artists here.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
I like it. No. Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, they say art imitates life.
So, absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
So you live in the art life and whatnot. So where are you from?
I'm from, born and raised in Nashville City.
Yeah.
Born actually in the Navy Hospital right here in Balboa.
Okay.
And grew up in Nashville City and thought I would be mayor and president of Nashville City, but I became an artist instead.
Probably better gig anyway, so.
Much better gig.
It could be. Yeah. Were your parents in the military?
My father was. My mom was from Yokohama, Japan.
Okay.
And we settled in a small little house in Nashville City.
Yeah, okay.
Only Japanese-American
nice.
Folks in that whole region.
Okay.
So it was a pretty unique situation.
Okay. Nice. Were both your parents Japanese or just?
No, just my mom.
Just your mom. Okay. Cool. Nice. How long have you been doing what you do?
Gee, my daughter is almost 40, so almost 40 years.
Okay.
The birth of my daughter directed me to have a greater purpose in life.
Yes.
A reason other than being a father and a baby maker, so to say, things like that happen. But art, you know, I first wanted to be a writer.
Okay.
But I sucked at it.
Okay.
It just was awful. You know, I could write little ditties here and there, but nothing of length. My attention span wasn't that great. So art fell in my lap, and I was always doodling and drawing, so it was a natural transition.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Was there any influence growing up that you had? I asked just because of the Japanese background.
Right.
I don't know if was that something that...
No, it was part of life. It was one of the layers of the sandwich, but it wasn't the reason I did art. You know, my parents had those Time Life artists through history books.
Yes. Yeah.
Read them all.
Okay.
And I go, wow, this is a nice journey.
Yeah.
You know, grew up with comic books.
Okay. Do you have a favorite one?
Comic books?
Yeah. Or?
Well, you know, the top three, Superman, Batman, and X-Men.
Okay. X-Men for sure. I'm with you. I'm with you, with X-Men.
And so, you know, it was funny because me and my brother, who passed away not too long ago, he was DC, I was Marvel.
Okay, good.
And we would fight as DC
like
and Marvel characters.
Physically? Okay.
Of course, physically.
Who's your favorite Marvel character?
Do
you have one?
Probably Wolverine.
Yes, of course.
Wolverine.
It's got to be it, man. Know, Wolverine's the man.
Small, runty, gutsy little guy.
Yeah.
So
won't take shit.
Don't take shit.
Don't take shit from anybody.
Yeah, so, you know, we were DC and Marvel and he was a musician, so he was a great guitarist.
Oh, dope. Okay.
And, you know, I guess he made a painting when he was in 10th grade. I must have been in 8th grade. And I thought, and he sold it. I go, that's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and it was a ball head. The painting looked like Moondragon.
Okay.
If you knew some of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't.
That's way back 70s stuff, I go way back. So he sold that painting, and that stuck in my head, you know. And I never had any intent to be an artist.
Right.
But once I stepped in, you know, I think it was in about 86 I joined this co-op art gallery from an ad in The Reader.
Okay.
It says, for $20 a month, you can join our art gallery. I said, hot dog.
There you go.
You know, I had three art pieces. I made. That's it.
What were they?
My brother got me 50 pounds of clay.
Okay.
And so I made some clay faces.
Nice. Okay.
And, you know, and then next thing I joined the gallery, got accepted.
Nice. Okay.
Then they told me once a month you have to bring a new art piece in.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my Bravo went drop down real fast. It's like, man, how am I going to keep up with that?
Yeah, the demand.
But man, you when you're pushed against a corner,
yeah,
you can produce some mighty fine stuff.
For sure. It's I think we had this conversation just the other episode of the pressure kind of helping with that. Some of us work well under pressure.
Yes, yes.
And it just drives us even to a greater, you know, sense of it. And we just make better art because of that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know
what I
mean? Or just better anything. But like me personally, you know, I'm like, if I'm in a time crunch, I got to get shit done. Like, okay. And it just, I don't know. There's a, you know, that fire that's getting lit up on your ass. Like, you
know. Well, sometimes your best work happens because of that.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Yeah.
I can.
Because under that pressure. But yeah, that's what happened to me. And, you know, I learned to make things in series.
Okay.
So I can, you know, if you make things in series... Mm-hmm. So my first piece was 40 clay babies, like Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. So I have strong themes, then I have series. So I made 40 clay babies.
Gotcha.
That kept me good for a couple months.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I was gallery manager, then vice president of this little co-op gallery.
Nice. Okay.
Didn't know anything. Then I was hanging the shows. So that taught me how to become an artist.
Okay.
How to build things, how to hang things, how to communicate with other artists.
I like it.
Because this one time I asked this older artist, I go, when can you call yourself an artist?
Yeah.
And he says,
that's a good question.
Anytime you want to.
Yeah. I mean, I like that.
There is no rule saying you can't be an artist.
Until.
Yeah, it's one of those only careers that you can name yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
I think with that, it also comes this whole, at least for me, this part of, you're your worst critic,
absolutely,
right? So you make that decision,
yes,
you know, up to that point, which is, it's kind of nice. It goes well with, hey, I'm going to name myself, but I'm in my own time, I'm going to do that instead of waiting for validation from anybody else, right? So when you decide, okay, I'm quote unquote good enough now, I'm an artist now.
I'm an artist.
You know? Yeah. But that's that. But that's the toughest part, I think. You know, getting to that point. You know, you can say X, Y, Z. Yes, I'm this, I'm that. But until you prove to yourself, and that's the hard part, I feel.
And then, you know, in this art world, there's so many varied degrees of being an artist.
Sure.
You know, there's some people, you know, will tattoo their whole life on their sleeve saying I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. Other people will say, you know, I like to dabble. You know, lately people go, is this your hobby? I go, no, it's part of the purpose of my life.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
and you found that purpose in that, you know, some people, you know, you bring up the hobby. Some people are like, yeah, it's a hobby. And they're really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is that they do. And it's to some people super easy. And people are just like, yeah, I mean, I think that plays into this whole thing of like, it's natural to them and it feels good. And like I said, natural. So it's like, it's easy for them to make it. Whereas other people are really trying all this stuff, but it's like, you know, when you find something, you know, your passion,
yes,
you know, your purpose, as you said, you know, it just comes with it.
I think part of the thing is you create obstacles for yourself.
Yes.
You know, and then part of, especially in art, you have to overcome the obstacles and the challenges, whether it's your own ego, time, supplies, you know, themes. A lot of happy accidents happen, or else you settle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people will say, oh, this is the best I can do.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even make it if I don't feel it. You know, I have to feel it. It has to boil my blood.
Yeah.
It has to create a passion in me.
No, for sure.
For me to carry it through with the commitment of, you know, however time. Usually it takes me about a year to finish a piece.
Okay.
So if I can't sustain that passion, the work's going to suffer.
No, for sure.
Right? Yeah. So my job is, how do I sustain passion by doing research, by living the life, you know, and all those are the rewards of living this artist life.
I think, at least for me, one of the things that I've learned is to not really know the rules of art, right?
Yeah, right.
And you just do things. So you're like, oh, I don't know, I wasn't supposed to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And some out of that came whatever, you know, whatever came from that.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was beautiful. And some people are like, well, how did you do that? It was like, well, I did X, Y, Z, and somehow that came out. Whereas other people are like, well, that's not how we, as artists, do things. Right, but it's like, right. Well, you're limiting yourself. Because you, at that point, if you don't know your limits, you know, you can explore way, way further out. You know?
You know, it's funny because I set up rules like haiku poems and sonnets. You know, they have structure to them.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But then your imagination can run wild within those structures.
Right.
So my job is, a lot of times, is control my chaos. So I'm able to make something.
Right.
You know, I got the energy, I got the passion, I got the desire, and then go.
Right.
I get a piece of material, whether it's stone, wood, and I make something, you know. That's my main goal in life, is to control my chaos, because without this art, I'd live a muddled mess, because it so easily happens where if I disregard all that I do or don't take it as serious as I should, it falls apart.
No, for sure.
You
it
know?
Can. No, it can. It definitely can. And like you said, the work suffers. And at that point, if you're not maybe mentally strong, or like you say, controlling your chaos, it just snowballs into this big thing, and then you start doubting yourself, what you do, what you've done, and you question things, right?
Right.
But I think there's a discipline in that, in controlling your chaos. I like that expression, in controlling your chaos.
But then you develop big balls.
Yep.
Because the artist has to have a healthy ego and strong balls, be able to do something, because you're sort of transcending a path, because I don't want to make what everyone else makes. I want to make what I want to make.
Right.
So I could care less about sensitive feelings. If someone says, oh, you know, that's easy, I could do that.
Right.
Who cares? All I care about, I put out a quality product that I enjoy and love. Because I set my own standards that way. So, you got to have a healthy ego, you know.
For sure.
But you can't have a destructive ego.
No.
I mean, this is art. You could be a drunk alcoholic and still succeed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
or you could be an idiot savant and still succeed.
Right.
You know, there are no set rules.
Yeah. And then I don't want people to think like, oh, I'm... fuck the rules and all this shit, because it isn't. There's a baseline to things,
absolutely,
you know, because
absolutely.
There's an influence, there's things that you see that you get inspired by, and you'll take that and then you build from that, you know. So these, you know, quote unquote rules, like I said, for me it's a baseline, a guideline almost. From there you begin to explore, you control your chaos, you check your ego, you know what I mean, as best you can, because you are human. And then you just let your imagination go wild, your passion go wild, and then create these things, to have these balls, the courage to make it, believe in it, and also put it out. Because that's one of the toughest parts, when you put it out. But you have to, like I said, with checking your ego, with controlling that chaos and building the art, once you put it out, I feel like it resonates. It builds and it exists in what you make. And so people see that. Not necessarily that they see the piece of art, because the piece of art is there. But somehow, for me personally, I feel like you can tell, like, okay, this is what he's done, you know, with this. And
Right.
You know, that's the, what do you call it? The product of all of that.
Right. You want it to have a life all its own.
Yes.
Aside from yourself.
Exactly.
What it basically do is... I'm Dr. Frankenstein. I give birth to these creations
I make.
And they have to stand alone without me.
Mm-hmm.
I enhance it, because I am the father of the piece. You know, I can talk about it. I can explain it. But the thing has to stand on its own, and everyone's individual life has to say, oh, this is what it means. This is how I feel about it. I either like it or don't like it.
Right. Or it speaks to me, you know, it resonates so well. This is exactly how I feel about, you know, X, Y, Z and stuff.
Right.
Who is this?
This is the world famous A.
A?
Yes.
Would you like
He's a tuxedo cat.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
You're saying hi.
I'm only here because of the two cats, A and Z.
We've never had a cat on.
Oh.
So we have, first of many... Just this last episode, we had people bring us donuts,
right?
Which was great. And now we have a cat, yeah. Which I like it.
Welcome, so, A.
Hi. This is where Matt inserts a bubble.
Yeah, he's a good cat. I had to have. I've always had cats, so okay. I got the other cat A about 8 years ago, and I thought he was too lonely, so I
no
he needed a companionship. Yeah, now A can't even stand him.
Okay,
you know they fight all the time. Yeah. But he's a good cat. They're funny. They're more loved than any of my art or me in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because the pretty girls won't scratch my chin.
No.
They will scratch.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
The ears of the cat.
When we were here, everybody was passing through, seeing the cats. And right. what's wild, at least the observation that I see, the cats attract the people, and yes. then they look inside and they're like, hey, what is this?
Right.
So there you go. It's like a calling card. I like it.
It is a calling card. Hi. And these cats are on Instagram. They have their own little blogs of San Diego animals. So people come by just for the cats.
Yeah, there you go.
They even ask me in grocery store, hey, how's your cat?
Not how you're doing.
Not how I'm doing. How's my cat?
Yeah, yeah. How's your cat doing? Nice. All right. Well, good. How old are they?
A is 1 year old and Z is 8.
Still young, yeah.
There's a funny story. There was a police officer here one time and he wrote a report.
Oh.
Shit happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And in that report it says, Mr. Watts came out with a cat on a leash.
Wow, okay.
That was the most interesting thing about the report.
Everybody's
Mr. Watts had a cat on the leash. So
tell me more about this man and his leash and his cats.
They were made like that. You know, I got the first cat on an ad in Facebook.
Okay.
You know, I needed emotional content. I was here by myself every day. Mm-hmm. The girlfriend thing wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I go, let me get a cat.
There you go.
First ad I saw was this Garfield-looking cat. I go, okay I'm going to call the guy. Yeah. He was an ex-Vietnam vet, you know, Trump supporter. I'm from Michigan. I'm this and that, multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. So I talked to him. He goes, I've interviewed like 4 or 5 people, but I like you.
Okay, there you go.
And so I got the cat. He goes, just one thing.
Uh-oh.
The cat don't like cars and he'll shit everywhere in the car. I said, I'll take that chance.
That's fine. Yeah.
The cat didn't shit anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Fortunately.
That's a shitty cat.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way. So.
He ended up being friendly on the leash and this cat's friendly on the leash. So, you know, it's a good story.
It's a good cat. It's a big cat.
Well, they eat well.
Good.
Yeah. There's no starving artists.
Right. They're taken care of. Nice. Yeah. So what you do? Back to Frankenstein. I was looking through your Instagram and checking out, you know, everything you do as a sculptor.
Yes.
Right. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you yourself? You're Frankenstein, right? Or is that what you're dubbing yourself in a sense? Because I see a lot of, or maybe the series is Frankenstein. It's something you got to clear up for me.
Right. The piece is Frankenstein.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a single piece. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of literature themes, whether Frankenstein, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Don Quixote.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So I use these themes that are relevant to me after I read the story.
Oh, okay.
I do a lot of research, hundreds of drawings, hundreds of stories. So with Frankenstein, my philosophical theme and idea was there's a monster in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We create these monsters, and the monster could either overpower us or we can come to terms with it.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea of Frankenstein monster searching for meaning, searching for love.
That's right.
But not having the ability to control the chaos because he was born living dead, no soul, so nothing to temper him. So he's also, as loving as he was also that murderous.
Right.
So we have that capability in us to be that loving and that murderous in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So once again, control the chaos.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, once you know yourself, you empower yourself.
I like that.
So,
yeah, that's very true.
Every piece I make, I learn about myself.
Mm.
So, bigger balls.
Yeah, for sure.
So to say. So this Frankenstein was just a whole year and a half during COVID I started making it. And it sort of had a life of its own, you know, because I always tried to have each push each piece push me to be a greater artist.
Okay.
I'm not going to say, okay, let me just do this. Let me get by. I'm going to challenge myself. So feats of wizardry, you know.
I like it.
You got to have that element of magic, you know, whether you believe or you come up with these concoctions, sort of like an alchemist. How do you bring life into inanimate objects?
Right.
You know, God breathed on a lump of clay and made man. You know, so what I can saw wood, stone, and metal to breathe emotional life,
Or
spiritual life into inanimate objects.
For sure.
So you do that with history, with blood, sweat, and tears, and ungodly belief in what you're working on. So, yeah, Frankenstein was... a very good piece for me. So then I went on, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde with the same good and evil.
Okay.
So, you know, I try to pick meaty themes and because I want to, in truth, I want to be a philosopher, right? A storyteller.
Right.
So because I wasn't a very good writer, I transferred that idea and how can I make a visual language.
Right. No, I love
it. That's my main goal is... develop a visual language.
Have you ever done a Two-Face?
A Two-Face.
Batman?
Oh, no, I haven't. Yeah, but Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde is the epitome of Two-Face. It's the same idea.
Gotcha.
But I believe in my comic book stories because, you know, I grew up with all of them. And even right now, I still buy comic books and graphic novels, you know, because the themes are great. You know,
for sure.
I told my brother, I go, we have to live forever to watch all these movies that are going to come out.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss any.
No, for sure. I remember, because I'm an X-Men fan, when X-Men first came out, I was super stoked. I'm like, or at least the live action.
Right.
I was super stoked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the best thing ever. I was like, here we go. Because I grew up watching mostly the cartoons, you know, in the 90s.
Right.
You know, so I was such a fan. I did have my critiques because I'm like, oh, Rogue is too young. That should have been Jubilee. You know, all this other shit,
right? Yeah, of course.
But, you know, that's the purest, I suppose, in it. But at the same time, man, it was so great to be able to see that just develop and get to like this new, you know, next level. And where it is today, you know, especially with CGI and all the
craziness.
I like the fact that Hugh Grant still playing Wolverine.
Still playing it.
Like after what, 20 years, 20 plus years?
Yeah.
And he's, you know.
But who can replace him?
Right. And it's so funny because I'm like, as he gets older, he could just play old man Logan. Like, you know.
Which he did and did fantastically.
Right.
Yeah. It was one of my favorite Marvel. Sure.
It was a good cap. Yeah, it was a good cap to his own series, which was nice. Yeah. One time.
All I do is rewatch movies.
No.
Comic book. I just finished Deadpool 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know, how great was that?
One. Yeah, 1 and 2. We saw that for New Year's Eve. Was it going into 2021? We sat there, watched both of them. I don't think you guys had ever seen them.
We'd seen the first one. But okay.
The second one was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, it's just a nice world that we live in now where you could actually feast on your passions.
No, for sure.
You know, or your interests, because it's being put out there, you know, whether it's a fucking quadruple hamburger, giant milkshake, or bikini clad superhero girls. Yeah.
And it's, I think for me, it goes back to the whole thing of having the balls to do it, the courage. Hey, we're doing it. We're making it happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe one time, you know, somebody was like, we're trying to make this live action X-Men. They were like, no, don't touch it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And it was great. And it's also what it's become now. You know, everyone has their take, especially like what they made the Batman like X amount of times, the Spider-Man so many times, you know. But people just said, hey, I want to represent it the way I see it, or I feel like I can make it better, you know. But you have to have the courage to do that, especially in that universe.
Yeah, because there's money involved. You have to have people believe in you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same way with this art world, you know.
Yes.
So no one's going to give you $100,000 unless they believe in you.
No, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, and it goes back to, once again, you have to believe in what you make, believe in you, like you talked about in the beginning. You know, controlling your chaos, all those things, those elements, bringing the life to the art.
Right.
And believing in it so wholeheartedly. that it, for me, that's how people believe in it. Once you believe in it, everyone else will. Not that everyone will,
but
you know, but those will, you know, who those who see it and for truly for what it is will understand it.
And you know, again, even to succeed in something like that, you have to have a built-in set of discipline.
Yes,
to come to work, to push through the hard work, because mm-hmm. sometimes it's not about art; it's just about work. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's a lot of it. You have to put in the work to create what you need to create. The vision is there, the passion is there. Yeah. You know, you have what you need at times. Sometimes you don't, but without the work, those ideas aren't gonna go anywhere.
Oh yeah. So I always tell young, you know, now that I've become overnight an older artist, mm-hmm. seemed like it was overnight. Yeah. I tell a lot of young kids, my goal is to give my name zeros.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I first started, I could sell something for $10.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Those are easy zeros. Then a few years later, I can sell $100. I added a couple more zeros because my name got out there.
Mm-hmm.
A few years after that, $1,000 piece.
There you go.
You know? So the more you're in the game, the more zeros you could add to for your sure. name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the purpose of this commerce of art,
mm-hmm.
is you're not going to get rich overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to build mm-hmm. a platform, not a foundation.
Sure. Yeah.
And in order to do that, you got to make good work.
Not for sure.
And you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the courage, the discipline, right. You know, those two things play a big part in it, you know. And at the end of the day, it's that whole, like you said, you found your purpose through what you make, you know, as a sculptor. I'm just brain farted, so
that's okay.
No. I'm like, ah, cat. No,
cat.
But what I was gonna say is that, like I said, the discipline, the courage, to continue to make what you make, through what you do, still brain farting. My bad. Sorry, I'm still like infatuated with the cat.
No, sometimes I tell myself, I go, no. How do you maintain passion mm-hmm. for a long piece when, you know, you're ready to move on to something else? Mm-hmm. You got life going on, but right. That's where you have to love what you're doing.
Yes.
And then you have to feed it, you mm-hmm. know, and you just can't rest on your laurels and say, okay, I'm good. I can just mm-hmm. whip this stuff out, you right. know. When your ego becomes like that, because that's happened to me numerous times.
Gotcha.
I got knocked down, you know, and it's in my own head. I
yes.
knock myself down and go, I got to rebuild up.
Yeah. My bad. So I think I'm currently almost in that space right now.
Mm.
What I tell the people in my circle is, look, I'm going to step back for a little bit. And I don't know if that's something that you've done. When you're like, okay, maybe I've overwhelmed myself as much as you love it,
right?
What you do, but you're like, you know what? I need to step back for a little bit. Do you ever do that? And
I step back from people,
okay?
Because people take time. I mean, it's not family,
yeah.
People,
yeah.
You know, this guy came in here and he came in showing me all his pictures. I go, you know what? I gotta clean my house. I ain't got time for you.
Yeah.
You know, it was. I didn't mean to be a dick about
no,
it.
No, no, of course.
But I go, I got a job to do.
Right.
And Mike said, I got to clean my studio before you guys come.
You should have had Mike come and clean it.
I would have cleaned it for some more tea.
Yeah, but, you know, him in the maid outfit just wasn't happening.
Hey, dude, we said we were going to keep that a secret.
Are we putting
we said we were going to put that out
Mike,
there.
Please, I'm sorry.
Mike,
I'm sorry.
Please tell us more. Do you have pictures? Maybe a sculpture.
No, I'm just kidding. These pictures the guy was showing you earlier.
Matt will put my OnlyFans on the bottom of the link.
There we go.
There you go.
Hey, for more content.
For more contact. Yeah, foot photos.
Man, I like it. No. Do we have a question for Mr. James
yes.
today?
Keith.
Hold on. Let me go ahead and hand on the mic just so he's... Mike, hand on the mic.
If you could be any superhero and use their power to create art, which superhero would you be and what kind of art would you create?
Oh, you might as well go all out and create modern worlds, be like Sentry or Superman. You know, the ability to move mountains.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
You would say, fuck art, let me solve world problems.
You could, yeah. I mean,
you know, because what's more important? I mean, if art could solve world problems, there'd be more artists.
Sure.
You know, but art is a means into itself. So you know, I would, if I had superpowers, I would solve world problems, you know, solve world hunger. If I was a billionaire, solve world hunger, you know, forget buying the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, no, you know, for sure. I mean,
you would, greater goal of humanity is, is, but, you know, that's the reason I do art too, to teach people.
Right.
I was Aesop fables, you know, poems, Bible stories, you know, those are things we as humans need and find things in common with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, where there's always a Hercules in us. There's always our Achilles in all of us, you know, that is dying to come out. But not till we know the story or live the story.
For sure.
Can we actually exercise that? So, yeah, Sentry's a good hero.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you do it well. Like you said, you know, art imitating life, but also your passion, your courage, you know, your discipline, everything that you are, you know, up to this point.
Right.
You know, you just throw it into your art and you create the Frankenstein, the Don Quixote, you know, all these people, especially from what you learn, from what you've read, you bring those stories to life. And I think that's one of the greatest challenges as an artist, is to bring, you know, what lives up here, up in your mind to life, to make it look exactly like that. Yeah. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
But you do it well, you know, with your sculptures. And I think what you just said, you know, telling the stories of how you see things, you know what I mean? But also, I think the lessons within that, you know, are important. And though you may not be a billionaire, you may not have superpowers, you know what I mean? You still have the ability as an artist to be able to solve someone's problem through what you make. You know, because like we said, you know, we say, everyone says it, but art is subjective. So if one day someone comes in, sees a piece, really resonates and speaks to them.
Right.
And they could maybe start their own healing. And we know within that, you know, you're a hero at that point.
Right.
You know
what I mean?
Within its own. And that's a great power to have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you make it sound way more noble than everyday life.
No.
You know, but this is the best life. I tell people this is the best life possible. You know, that you could have, but you have to accept the reality of that life.
For sure.
You know, you're not, fortunately I have a good day job.
Okay. Yeah.
That helps pay the bills.
Yep.
And a lot of artists have to.
For sure.
Have a good day job to do something, but it takes a tremendous belief in yourself, because there is no guarantee.
Not at all.
At all. Huh?
Death and taxes.
Yeah. That something's going to happen. So, but you have to make it for the sake of making it, you know?
Yeah.
It's, no one's going to, you know, keep patting you on the back and say this and that. But, you know, I taught myself how to make art. I did my own research, read about art history. You know, every artist has their own unique origin story.
Yeah, for sure.
Why I became an artist, you know. I didn't get bit by a spider, but, you know, there's three things I wanted to be growing up. It was a race car driver, a wrestler, or a football player.
Okay.
I didn't get any of those, but I became an artist so I can dream about all that stuff.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's good. And dreams is good. The vision is good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you said, it's important to have the vision, but putting in the work to bring that vision to life
is
way more important than anything else, because otherwise, how do we exist?
How's that exist? And then I also learned, you know, that there's times, there's nothing more important than being an artist than being a good human being, being a good parent. You know, I used to say, as a human being, I make a good artist, because I struggle at being a human being.
Right.
You know, because there's are so many different factors. But as an artist, I make a good human being.
Yeah.
You know, that's my crowning achievement in my life.
Good.
You know, I can only wish I could be that good of a parent. You know, one tries.
No, for sure.
But I'm very fortunate and blessed because my kids are wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I was a juvenile delinquent growing up, you know, looking and getting in all sorts of trouble. My kids were nothing like that.
Plus, you knew what to watch out for.
That, and, you know, the greatest thing two human beings could do is converse.
Like we're doing today.
Like we're doing today, you know. And that can solve all things, mm-hmm. you know. Me and my kids growing up, we just talked a lot, mm-hmm. or they had to listen to me talking.
Yep. I'm the same. That's why I'm today. My daughter, you know, she's like, she'll sit there sometimes for hours, and sometimes yeah. like, I think like, man, am I talking too much? Am I saying too much? But the thing is, you know, if it's not me,
yeah.
it's gonna be somebody else, and I'd rather it be me. You know, we're humans, and you know, the conversations, the open communication is important. You know,
right.
just be upfront. You know, and try and be the best human being that you can.
Absolutely.
You know, to set the example, and know, like you said, accept the reality that sometimes you are gonna slip, you are gonna fall.
Yeah.
But as long as you learn from that and become better from that is a greater, you know, lesson to learn, and also be that example for them. But,
oh yeah.
And for those around you as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for being on. Thank you for having us in your space. Thank you for your time, your energy, and your story. Do we have anything else? Maybe Mike?
No. I think we're good.
I think he's crying.
Yeah, see,
we really moved him.
I'm so moved.
Yeah.
I have some old toilet paper that can wipe that tear.
I'd rather cry on your shoulder.
There you go. No, well, thanks again for having us. It was a pleasure. And normally, we toast with lemonade. But you were a great host, and you had tea for us, so we're going to go with that. So thanks
salud.
Again, and we'll say salud, and we'll see you on the next one.
And thank you all. Uh-huh. Yeah, this was wonderful.
Awesome. Boom.
Good job.
Awesome, man. That was